This one is titled The Time Is Now. There is I don't know, a lot of people I've spoke with and listened to, there is a sense of urgency now that we have not seen in a while. I even explained it to Travis as when the assassination attempt in Pennsylvania on Trump, I did not have the sense of urgency like I have now. And so there is a, I even was telling my mom when I talked to her about it. This one, this teaching is probably more Holy Spirit fed through me than any of the teachings I've done before. There's going to be parts of it that's wordy, and I ask that you, with all your might, use your attention to hear what it's saying, because it is not me. Parts of this is me, sure, the parts I wrote, but a lot of it is Holy Spirit, and a lot of it is past and present prophets who have prophesied about exactly what we're seeing right now. So a shot that was heard, the shot heard around the world is most commonly referred to what most of us recognize as a shot that rang out when the American Revolutionary War started. I do want to say that in this, I want you to keep youth in mind. Our founding fathers at the time when they started founding the 13 colonies and coming together to create our constitution, our government, they were not old men with white wigs and wooden teeth. Most of them were 15 to 45 years old, your youth and your prime. God works through all ages, but with his children's, we'll say children, the youth, the young, that's a very, holds a very special place for him. Our founders, our country was established for God. It started in 1607 at Cape Henry. It was reiterated in 1620 with the Mayflower Compact. All 13 colonies had their founding documents, had sworn oaths to God, just as our Constitution does. So in that little blip there, you cannot tell me that this country was not founded for God. These are what we call the founding wells of America. Wells must be maintained, otherwise they get clogged, they get unclean, they become unusable, they are sealed off, buried, and no longer exist. So then, when you think of wells spiritually, like how America was founded, if those wells were unused, covered up, sealed off, buried, then generationally, how would we know that that well ever existed? We wouldn't. That is darkness right there. This is why we have to maintain our wells, the wells we know that we have to get behind our youth and keep teaching them these wells, where the well is, how to get to it, what that well contains. And it's up to us to keep those wells clean for them. Genesis 26:18 speaks of when Isaac had redug all of Abraham's wells. So the Philistines had, they didn't like Abraham, okay? They went and they sealed off, buried all the wells Abraham had dug and named because they wanted no part of it. Isaac went and redug all of those wells and renamed them exactly what his father had done. That is the same thing we are supposed to do. There's been three keys that the ecclesia in the past several years has really been praying over, and it's prayer, prophecy, and intercession. Redigging wells symbolizes more than restoring water sources. It's about reclaiming the spiritual and covenantal legacy of our father, just as Isaac did for his father. The last several years, the church has been asleep. And when I say several years, I'm not talking just in the last decade. I'm talking since the late 70s, mid 70s. There, in that time frame since then, there's been a lot of sleeping churches. We know that. The churches became passive, conforming, watered down teachings and preachings, half hidden gospel, only presenting the parts that were easy. Above all, they shunned politics because it was too political. As if politics were completely outside the realm of Christianity. It's a cowardly church, is what we've seen in the last 30 years. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 9:10. Wisdom does not begin with the fear of offending somebody, righting offense, or worldly condemnation. So I essentially no longer care what people think about me. That is not my concern. That is not my worry, because I'm operating up here because we know what is coming, and it's coming soon. I have heard that term for a long time, but I'm telling you, the sense of urgency, when everything starts lining up, we're going to see how it all starts operating together, because it's for his fulfillment. Guess what happens when his word is fulfilled? We're done. We gone. We're out. You know, gate 12, right? Yeah, I'm ready. In the last few years, our eyes have been open, and a spiritual awakening in the church and outside the church and within the ecclesia have started coming to light. There's been a huge awakening. So on revival, repentance, and reformation, let me say this. Yes, we can all prophesy. That does not mean you are a prophet or you're claiming to be a prophet. There's a big difference. When we prophesy something, that is to decree, to proclaim God's word upon a situation. We can all do that, but that does not make you prophets. Ezekiel in the Bible was a prophet, but God told him, go and prophesy. So you have to also remember that when you're listening to prophecies or prophets, that it's not just, if you don't understand it, it's not just people just closing their eyes and just, I'm making stuff up. They're not just sitting there thinking of what they want to think. They are operating fully in the Holy Spirit, giving God's word directly to us. So revival precedes repentance. So think of revival as step one. Then comes repentance. That is to turn, to be converted. It's your change of heart. And then four, reformation. That's the complete of the restructuring. The complete of the restructuring. So when God commands, or we've heard through the Holy Spirit that you're given a word, it is our job to release that word. What good is that word? Sure, that word is healing to us and it's good for us, but what good is it if we just keep our mouth shut because somebody's going to think I'm weird? Or I know that look of when you get dismissed, like, ooh, she is full of loops, you know? And I got to that point where I would stop saying, and my mama knows it for years. And when I say this, it's not all the time. Probably, I don't know, 10, 15 occurrences in 20 years when I see things, when I have the dreams, when you know. And it's interesting because when you go and try to share it with somebody comes at, okay, you know, and it's just, so, you know, when you are worried about what people think, you shut down, you stop operating. You don't have time to worry about that anymore. And I'm getting ready to prove it. It has been prophesied several times that 2025 will come alive. We have been proclaiming that this whole last year. If you did not understand what that last part of our tithes meant, now you do. The 2025, the revival is mainly with the youth and younger generation, and repentance will spread like wildfire, which is fast, it is bold, and it spreads at unprecedented speeds, which will not only lead America, but for a worldly reformation. We're living it. We are seeing it in real time. This is a historic time. When was the last time you knew of hundreds of millions of youth all around the world being saved? What, the Jesus movement was probably one of the last big ones? And it wasn't 100 millions. There was thousands, which was great. Glory to God. Yes, I know we're more populated now, but that's not the point. The older generations will need to be renewed and refreshed because of what our role is coming to be, which is to get behind the younger generation to help them grow spiritually, keep them aligned with God, clear the murky waters for them, keep the wells clean, and encourage them. It is no longer about us. We tend to have that, how do I say this? The boring, okay? The boring, the old. Not that we are, but the younger generation, the youth coming up, has a fresh fire, a Holy Spirit fire that has never been seen before. This is, I'm so glad you said this. This is the third great awakening. And if you don't know that biblically, time is speeding up very, very fast. I'm going to read to you, it's called Power Shift. It was a prophecy from Tim Sheets. I want you to keep in mind this one is a little bit longer, a couple pages, but this was 3 days before Charlie Kirk was shot. This was what Tim Sheets spoke through the Spirit on 9/7/25. I hear the Lord saying to his church, listen to the wind words of Holy Spirit penetrating your times and activating power to shift a nation. For you have come into an appointed time, a supernatural mega event has been planned. It is accelerating into the earth realm. Lucifer and his kingdom, rulers of darkness, they will not stop it. You will see my kingship manifest upon the earth in new ways. New levels of my reigning powers will reach into the governments of the nation. Dictators, hierarchies, and family dynasties that run with the camp of Lucifer, those who run on demon errands will be confronted and stopped by my power rising exponentially in new places and in new ways and through new and renewed sons and daughters of God. For I am releasing new mantles for new times, new anointing reserved for this era. I am being poured from heaven as my river supply. My river supplies flows from my throne and through all my ecclesias. This new flow of Holy Spirit will cause the expansion of my kingdom in ways and displays that have never been seen before. Indeed, says the Lord, the minds of man captured and bound by reason will be blown. For it will be seen, says the Lord, that I cannot be confined by reason. Get I cannot be confined by man's laws. I cannot be confined by man's wisdom. I cannot be confined by the language of fools. I cannot be confined by capitals. I cannot be confined by Congress or parliaments. I cannot be confined, the Lord says, even by religion. Not of earth or universe. None of earth or universe can confine me. I will break out against all confinement. The shattering of confinement has begun. Yes, indeed, I have a surprise for you. I have a new event for you. I have a new Pentecost for you. My ecclesia will see the breaking off of confinements and will function in new anointings of my Holy Spirit. For yes, I have remembered my word through the prophet Joel. It is part of my supernatural mega event. I am pouring out my spirit on all flesh, the young and the old together. I have given visions to young men by multiplied thousands. They now will run with me, surrounding forth awakening. I have put prophetic words in the heart of my handmaidens. Like Mary, they are highly favored, and they will prophesy. Prophetic declarations are in my handmaidens' heart, and they will speak my words into the nation. My older generations are also beginning to dream again. I am giving them new dreams. I'm anointing their dreams to break through their confinements. Those called barren will now produce. My Zacharias and Elizabeths will give birth to their dreams. They will sing with exuberance. Holy Spirit's hovering, flowing, overshadowing presence will now birth new things. Yes, they will spring forth. The time is now. For the presentation of my ecclesia, I will manifest in ways never seen before. Church will be done in a new way as Holy Spirit blends the new with the renewed and activates the gospel of my kingdom, confirmed with great power. Signs in heaven will provide a quickening confirmation or a living confirmation to all generations. It will be a message confirmed also by creative miracles, a message assisted by my kingdom's army angels as well. Angelic visions will increase as I release my messengers with destiny messages. Revelation, understanding, and enlightenment will accelerate in my sons and daughters. My DNA will be seen in them. My mind will be revealed in them as Holy Spirit guides. I will do exactly what I said I would do. I will do what I promised through my ecclesia. I will fulfill my prophetic unction from my handmaidens. Mercy will flow wave after wave. New births, new births, new births. They will happen in all of the world at levels the world has never seen before. Yes, indeed, a billion soul harvest. I will bare my arm and show my strength. I will scatter the bluffing braggarts. I will knock tyrants off their thrones. I will knock them off their high horse. I will pull victims out of the mud. I will sit the starving poor down to banquet. I will remember and embrace my chosen ones, piling on my favoring mercies, doing exactly what I told them I would do. I will be God with you. I will move more and more and more into the earth realm and manifest my ways among my people, producing change all over the world. Yes, change is coming. Yes, change is coming. It's here. Now, so I've got a lot of prophecies for you. Just kind of want to prove the point. So now I'm going to read another. This is actually the first one I came across. No, let me rephrase that. This is not the first one I came across. It's actually the second one, but I forgot about the first time I had heard this. This is by Charlie Shamp, 2022, and it was titled A Shot Heard Around the World. And I found that so interesting because given the title, even ages apart, it was a mark of a major God movement for his children of faith. On July 23rd, 2022, Charlie Shamp prophesied. I prophesied over the state of Arizona. There are realms of intercession that you haven't even touched yet, but you're coming into them. Because Arizona is a key state for the coming revival. As intercession goes up, God is going to exhale glory. I saw it in 2012. One key place will be Phoenix, Arizona. There is going to be a cloud of God's glory, and people would see it as far as the East Coast and beyond. And they will come and walk through the glory cloud that was in the desert. Now you are on the precipice. Here we are in 2022, and the Lord spoke and said, you're right on the cusp, you're right on the precipice. But the realm of intercession that you've hit isn't even the realm of intercession you're going to come into. There are little pockets of it now, but it's going to groan. I say groan, think of Holy Spirit groan. It's going to expand, and there's going to be a season, I tell you, because you're going to need to be ready for it. The air is going to be sucked out of Arizona because of a demonic thing that is coming. But there will be a shot that is heard around the world. But the Lord says it will not silence my church, but it will increase intercession. And through that, there will come great revival and outpouring of my spirit, the Lord says. It will be a shot heard around the world, but it will not stop the move of my spirit. It will only increase the intercession. The earth will groan. It will cause a groan in the church like never heard before, and you need to be ready. The revival that is coming is going to be birthed through a groan of intercession that is so deep, the earth will hear it cry. there is a fresh oil of intercession that's being released, and it will go up, and it will be so powerful, it will feel like heaven is open with angels ascending and descending. Everybody realizes Charlie Kirk and all the ties he had in Arizona, correct? And that when his founding turning point, USA, is in Phoenix, Arizona. The other shot around the world, once I was going through this, realized was in 2012, Robin Bullock. His was very short. It said, a shot heard around the world, a shot heard around the world. And then he heard Donald Trump wins. That was 2012. That was long before. The tipping point, there are many opportunities before the Church of Jesus Christ that can be accomplished if we pray and take action. The thing with faith, you can have faith, but faith without action, nothing really. While none of us fully understands all the Holy Spirit is doing, we can be confident that his plans ultimately reveal Jesus. In the midst of verbal chaos, conflicting voices, and waves of sorrow, divine possibilities are emerging. Though evil has struck, God has a way of turning even the darkest moments into opportunities for his glory. Amen. Charlie Kirk's life was marked by bold proclamation of the gospel. He preached salvation without compromise on our college campuses, leading thousands and thousands of young men and women to Christ, carrying the message of Christ into every part of our nation's future. Charlie was not only an evangelist, he was a cultural reformer. And I always go back to when God spoke to the woman at the well, the Samaritan. He shouldn't have ever done that. But what he done was he broke a cultural boundary. He understood that the church is not merely a religious institution, but Christ's ecclesia. The ecclesia is a governing body called to bring biblical clarity to, you know, every person. He backed his convictions by founding Turning Point USA, raising up a company also run by Christians unashamed to stand for God's word, biblical marriage, family, and truth, in education, science, business, and media. He taught and inspired thousands to use their voices with boldness and courage. It was precisely this courage that hell sought to silence. Evil struck him down in front of the world in a desperate attempt to quench a movement of God. But this plan has failed miserably, becoming one of hell's greatest defeats. Hope is rising from the crushing. Beauty will emerge from the ashes. Out of tragedy will come multiplied voices of thousands of new leaders step forward in Charlie's place. Hell didn't take one. Heaven gained 100 million. Christ's true ecclesia will rise to declare the gospel of the kingdom with a fresh fire. As Romans 8:28 reminds us, all things, even the darkest tragedy, can work together for good to those who love God. Darkness in God's hand becomes an incubator of new creation. His voice speaks light into the darkness, order into confusion, and life into death. John 1:5 tells us, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot and will not overcome it. In the midst of grief and turmoil, heaven is releasing these gifts. These gifts are flowing like rivers of light, cascading from the Father of light onto his sons and daughters. Talents, ability, communication skills, leadership callings, and spiritual authority are being poured out and overseen by his Holy Spirit. This is not a trickle, but this is a flood, cascading upon those in despair, flooding them with light, hope, and divine empowerment. Out of this movement of darkness will emerge gifted sons and daughters, filled with radiant spiritual, they like rising of rivers of light in the midst of a storm. One of the most gifted generations of history, in history of the kingdom, is about to emerge. So while this emerging is occurring that we're starting to see, let me tell you a little bit what's going on in the spiritual realm. It's a prophetic dream. I had a dream a while back about a very, very large angel. Back up. Tim Sheets. This angel had a silver type of breastplate. In the dream, he was throwing boomerangs, and he was throwing them in certain large cities into certain areas. He was throwing boomerangs around the Supreme Court and Capitol Hill and major cities around the United States that are under some kind of evil agenda, government, socially, and culturally. Upon waking, I began to pray into the dream, "Lord, what are you saying?" He responded, "Boomerang. Boomerang is releasing upon strategies of darkness by my angels as my ecclesia has asked for." I cannot tell you how many times we have come in agreement in prayer over pulling back the curtain, getting a line drawn in the sand. Plots will boomerang. Evil plans will boomerang. Schemes of dark government will boomerang. Battle plans will boomerang. Power systems generating reinforcements of sin to destroy my will boomerang. They will experience the boomerang of their proposed destruction. Plans of destruction will certainly come back upon them, and freedom from bondage will be manifested once again in this nation, and the king's redemption will activate in all 50 states. Boomerang is declared against lawless ideologies and your underground systems. Your reversal is planned. My angels have deployed against you. Days of boomerang have begun, and you will see visible public displays of undeniable reversals. My heirs will rejoice as what was meant for my people's harm will turn for good. I can, I have, and I will stand with them. I can, I have, and I will cause my ecclesia to prevail. I can, I have, and I will anoint history makers. I can, I have, and I will anoint new leaders. I can, I have, and I will change America's history. I can, I have, and I will pour out my spirit, and I am shaking hell. I can release anointings of boomerang on nations, on cities, and on governments. I have released the anointing for boomerang upon the government systems of evil. Reversals will now accelerate, says the Lord. These next 2 months is going to exceptionally accelerate, and hell cannot stop it. That's pretty, if that doesn't tell you like how time is really starting to speed up, I'll get there. Okay. He knows the plans he has woven over us. That's Jeremiah 29:11. And he will fulfill all of his purposes at their right time. Gina Goldston had a dream in which God said we were entering a set time. He said, "I am giving you a moment to advance with my purposes, and that time is now." We have heard entered that moment. It's appointed, strategic, opportune time for things to change. That's Kairos time, not Kronos. Changes will happen now that couldn't happen before. Prophetic promises and unfulfilled destinies have been hovering over us, over our regions, and over this nation, have now intersected the moment of their intended fulfillment. God once spoke, this is going back to Gina. God once spoke to me saying, "It's time, and I am culminating the years, events, words, dreams, vision, obedience, and the steps you have taken. I am pulling all things together, and soon you will see my purpose in it all." We may not have understood everything we've done, seen, heard in previous seasons, but all those things were pieces of a much bigger picture. Now the pieces are coming together in the right moment to reveal his big picture. This will not only validate our past obedience, but it will also prophesy into the future that is now unfolding right before our eyes. In this appointed time, there will be things things will begin to unfold very, very quickly. We are already seeing that happen, and it's so, so much bigger and far-reaching than we ever imagined. It is so imperative that we stay alert and stand in readiness to hear and run with what the Holy Spirit imparts to us concerning our times. We must rely on His guidance and as He instructs us with the steps to take and which way to go. God said to Gina, He said to me, in the days to come, whatever I ask you to do, you must remember this and hear me asking you four questions. How you answer will determine whether or not you are obeying my leading. Then he asked me, this is Gina speaking. Then he asked me four questions. With each question followed was his assurance. So anytime an opportunity is presented to you, or, you know, you get that spiritual feeling and an idea, a thought comes to you that maybe you should do something, but, you know, then the worldly is like, I'm not sure. I really don't have time for that. I'm already too busy. You don't have time to turn it away anymore. So when these are presented to you, are you afraid? His reassuring answer says, don't be. Are you devoted to me? His reassuring answer is, I am devoted to you. Are you resolved? His reassuring answer, I'm resolved. Will you go for me? His reassuring answer, I will go with you. So there's where people get hung up on, but he's already assuring us that no matter what he do, he's already in it and he's right there with us. We won't fail. You cannot fail if you're doing it in faith with the assurance of God. You won't fail in any fashion, any form. So quit being scared. Okay. After the four questions and reassured answer, he then placed his right hand on my head and said, it's time. Lord, we've been hearing this phrase, but what is it time for? And without any pause, he answered, fearless advancement, possession of my promises, and the fulfillment of my purposes that I have set for this time. You shall lift your head, I will capture your ear, and you will hear my voice as I order your steps. What a moment. What a moment. I beg of you this. If you've decided to take a nap, that's fine. Rest in the Lord. That's what I'm believing it is. I ask that you please, please just listen to this next 2 minutes. If any of this. For years, the Spirit of God has been saying we are reaching a tipping point, a hinge of history, a turning point. How many times has this been declared across pulpits and prayer rooms? And here we are, standing in the very moment. The outcomes of tipping points are decided by who defines the moment. If the church remains silent, unbelievers are still running amok in society, church members are still sitting on their hands, not making devotion or commotion for God, it will be hell who is allowed to define the moment. We must not allow hell to set the narrative. We cannot allow confusion and compromise in culture to determine what this moment means. This is the ecclesia's hour to rise and define the turning point. I believe we are on the brink of seeing the most gifted generation of young champions for Christ ever raised up. Their passion, unshakable faith, fiery boldness, and uncompromising love for Jesus Christ will shock the world. Holy Spirit is adding to the church young, passionate warriors who will pick up the mantles of those who have gone before them. Not only will they carry them, they will multiply the mantles. Revival will now and it will now begin and it's surging. If you have been called to work with God's youth, you better answer that call, because he will pass you up and go to the next person who answers that call. That is going to be the primary focus. There's lots of stuff you can do, you know, for the kingdom of God, but that is like got the gold little star over it, I believe. The third great awakening is the end of the end of the end times, And we're seeing it, we've heard about it, but we're living it out in real time now. There is no denying that. This is one of the last calls. What you are doing or you are not doing for his kingdom expansion and billion so harvest, soon there will be no more excuses or reasons. This is the part I told mom, it really got me. This was pure Holy Spirit here. Soon, when you stand before God and he asks you, why did you not listen? Why did you not obey? I spoke this into existence. Warnings were given. Opportunities were presented. And yet you chose to use my time as your time for your life and your benefit. Not for your brothers and sisters, not for my kingdom expansion as I had commanded you to do. What will your excuse be then? I mean, come on. When you stand there asking, I can't be like, well, I had to work. Not anymore. Praise the Lord. Okay. There will be no more opportunities. There will be no more warnings. We've had the warnings. It's in his word. The prophets have told us. You've heard it from the pulpits. How many more times, think about forgiveness. When was it Peter that said, how many times, Lord, should I forgive him? Seven? And he was like, try 77. Well, that's what he's done for us, but there comes an end. We don't get any more chances. The urgency is now. The time is now. The selfish and petty excuses will no longer matter. So you better step out in faith if you haven't. Yes, step out, because the finish line is truly in sight. Stepping out? No. You better start sprinting. You've been commanded. You've been warned. You've been offered with opportunities by God, prophets of old and new, by spiritual leaders. You're down two with seconds left. Do you sit down on your hands and give up? Or do you put all aside and go for the glory winning shot? Because this is where we are. This is my Hail Mary pass to you. If you don't heed God's commands, prophetic warnings, or the opportunities, so here I am attempting another time. If you choose to continue to live his time for your time, get out of my way, because I'm running with all his boldness and might to the finish line. He wants us all together as he created us to be. But if you continually choose you and your time, which he created, I love you, but eat my dust. And that's it. No, but some might. Now's the time to step out in faith.